Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
China's currency weakens as the PBOC's reference rate heads closer to 7.
Central banks across Asia cut interest rates in the face of trade tensions and a global slowdown.
U.S. oil is now seen as the next trade war target as Brent crude enters a bear market.
President Trump travels to grief-stricken El Paso and Dayton today. Plus, Kim Jong-un says North Korea's latest missile test is a warning to the U.S. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Mets and Yankees keep winning. Mets shut out the Marlins. They've won 12 of 13. The Yanks stretch their win streak to 7 with a victory in Baltimore.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Margin loans started 3.9% and decreased for larger loan values. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare.
U.S. futures and European stocks are gaining with central banks in focus this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 11 points. Dow futures up 97. Nasdaq futures up 47. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. CAC in Paris up 1.4%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.3%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds. Yield 1.67%. Yield on the 2-year 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 21 cents at $53.42 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1% or $15.20 at $14.99.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1185 against the dollar and the yen 106.27. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the People's Bank of China setting its daily reference rate for the yuan just barely below 7, and that has the currency weaker this morning. Stephen Cochran is chief Asia-Pacific economist at Moody's Analytics.
I suspect from now on that the currency will stay close to 7. It gets difficult if it gets much higher in terms of trying to protect against capital outflows. To be able to offset all of the tariffs, they'd almost have to go to 8. And I don't think that's in the cards at all. So I think keeping it close to 7 and also making it clear that the PBOC is in control, I think that's what they're trying to show right now.
Analysts are now looking to tomorrow's fixing as a key signal from the PBOC. Right now, the offshore yuan is trading at 70748 per dollar.
Oil could be the next target in the trade war, with some expecting China to start avoiding U.S. crude imports. We get more from Bloomberg's James Thornhill.
There's concern that China might now start boycotting U.S. crude. Now, they could source it from somewhere else, but it does feed into those broader concerns about demand destruction if this trade war continues and the sort of impact that's going to have on global demand for crude.
Oil is lower again this morning after Brent crude fell into a bear market yesterday. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 22 cents at $53.41 a barrel. And Brent is down 0.6% at $58.61.
And as trade tensions rise, gold pushed past $1,500 an ounce. It's trading near its highest level in 6 years as investors seek havens and central banks begin cutting rates. Right now, COMEX gold is at $1,498.90.
And central bank easing is a major theme in Asia today, where we get 3 rate cuts. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel joins us from Hong Kong with the details. Good morning, Stephen.
Well, good morning, Karen. New Zealand, India, and Thailand all cut rates more than expected. Asian stocks traded fairly mixed, though, as investors continue to weigh the U.S.-China trade tensions. New Zealand stocks surged 1.9%, and the Kiwi dollar fell more than 2% after the central bank there cut rates by 50 basis points, and the Reserve Bank governor signaled the possibility of negative rates. Now, the Aussie dollar tumbling, too, to the lowest since 2009 on speculation it could follow. Well, Indian stocks fluctuated between gains and losses as the RBI there cut rates by 35 basis points and reduced its annual growth forecast. And Thailand then followed with its own rate cut, 25 basis points, when most analysts had expected the central bank to stand pat. In Hong Kong, I'm Stephen Engel, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Stephen, thanks. Back here in the U.S., there are signs the Federal Reserve may not cut rates as fast as traders anticipate. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. John, good morning.
Yeah, Nate, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, he is pushing back at suggestions the central bank needs to lower rates to soften the impact from the trade war.
The nature of a trade war is that you have tit for tat going on all the time. It is not reasonable for monetary policy to respond to all these threats and counter threats.
In addition, Bullard expects the negative impact of the trade war on the global economy will remain for the quarters and years ahead. A voter on the Federal Open Market Committee this year, Bullard says he likes Chairman Jerome Powell's comparison of last month's quarter point rate cut to a mid-cycle adjustment. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Lower interest rates are taking a toll on banks in Europe with weak earnings from Commerce Bank and UniCredit today. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen. And Nathan, Commerzbank said its goal of lifting profit this quarter, or this year rather, is looking increasingly ambitious after revenue fell for a fourth quarter. The lender also set aside more money for soured loans. Meanwhile, UniCredit cut its revenue target amid a struggle to spur growth. Sluggish European economies and the sale of an online banking unit took their toll on the lender. We've got Commerzbank down by 3.2% today and UniCredit down by the same amount. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thanks. Shares of Walt Disney are down about 3% in early trading after earnings missed estimates. Theme park attendance fell. Despite opening its highly anticipated Star Wars Galaxy's Edge attraction in California, Bloomberg's Chris Palmieri has more from Los Angeles.
Bob Iger gave a surprising mea culpa. He said, you know, we tried too hard to limit attendance because we thought crowds were going to be so big. They had a reservation system for the attraction. They'd never done that before. Everybody in Anaheim raised hotel prices, including them, he said. So people just stayed away. And the same thing at Walt Disney World in Florida. He said people were staying away because they're waiting for that Galaxy's Edge to open later this month.
Disney's earnings also took a hit on poor performance from its newly acquired Fox assets. At the same time, it announced pricing for a new bundled streaming service. For $13 a month, Disney will offer customers its Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus services, all launching this November.
And S&P futures are higher this morning, up 11.5 points. Dow futures up 103, and NASDAQ futures are up 50. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32, the yield 1.67%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump will seek to console the grief-stricken residents of El Paso and Dayton today. It comes after last weekend's mass shootings that left at least 31 people dead. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports there is local reluctance over the president's visits.
The president and first lady plan to pay tribute to emergency responders in both cities and pray with victims' families and survivors, according to White House spokesman Hogan Gidley.
He also wants to talk about potential solutions.
The visits are complicated, though, by Trump's anti-immigrant rhetoric, blamed by Democrats for helping incite the El Paso attack, and his resistance to gun control measures demanded by local politicians, including Dayton's mayor, Nan Whaley. She says she'll welcome Trump in her official capacity as mayor, but also supports those who don't approve of his visit.
I think that people should stand up and say they're not happy if they're not happy that he's coming.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
There was panic in Times Square last night after people started scrambling when they heard what they thought was gunfire. It turned out to be the backfiring of a motorcycle. This man was in Times Square when it happened.
All of a sudden, I heard like this kind of muffled pop, and I was like, oh, what was that? And I looked over, and there was just like a sea of people running. And I had about 1 or 2 seconds to like think, oh, is this really happening? And it was just a sea of people running, and I just started booking it.
The NYPD wants to assure the public there was no active shooter. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden remains the front runner in a Quinnipiac University national poll. The former vice president drew 32%. Senator Elizabeth Warren is second at 21%, up from 15% last month. Senator Bernie Sanders is third at 14%, up from 11%. Senator Kamala Harris fell to 7%, down from 12%. It looks like the race for Queens District Attorney is officially over. Public defender Tiffany Caban conceded the Democratic primary race last night, more than a week after Queens Borough President Melinda Katz was declared the winner. Kim Jong-un said North Korea's latest missile tests were intended as a warning against ongoing U.S.-South Korea military exercises. North Korean state media said today that Kim personally oversaw what Allied military officials said was a pair of short-range ballistic missile launches. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Mets and Yankees continue to feast on last-place teams. The easy schedule is one factor in the Mets' hot streak, but outstanding pitching is another. Staff ERA since the All-Star break of under 3, and it was Zach Wheeler last night. A 5-0 shutout of the Marlins. So for Mickey Callaway's Mets, that's now 12 wins in the last 13 games.
We understand that, you know, who we've been playing, but that doesn't matter to us. You know, we try to win every single game every day, and if we take that approach, you really shouldn't worry about your opponent. We're worried about ourselves playing the game the right way, the camaraderie that we have in the clubhouse, and if we do that, we have enough talent in that room to beat anybody.
Day game today, Citi Field, day off tomorrow. Then the schedule does get tougher. Big home series this weekend with Washington. Baltimore, the night after the Yankees hit 5 home runs, they hit 6. 3 by guys who had homer the night before, Brett Gardner, Austin Romine, the sizzling hot Mike Talkman, also D.D. Gregorius, Cameron Maben, and D.J. LeMayo. A 9-4 win stretches the Yankee win streak to 7. 14 wins in a row at Camden Yards, and in 9 games there this season, they've now belted 38 home runs. Second time in 3 nights, Gleyber Torres couldn't finish the game. He's headed home for tests. San Francisco Giants have released second baseman Joe Panic, Yonkers native, played at St. John. The Zeke Elliott holdout from Cowboys camp getting more serious with a report that his agent has told the team that Elliott will not report to camp until he gets a new contract, and that he is prepared to do what Le'Veon Bell did last season in Pittsburgh, not play at all. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
All right, John, thank you. And the new stadium at Hollywood Park that the Los Angeles Rams and Chargers are having built for them now has its first corporate sponsor. The L.A. Stadium and Entertainment District at Hollywood Park says American Airlines will be a founding and naming rights partner for American Airlines Plaza. That stadium is scheduled to be open next July. Futures ahead of the open on Wall Street pointing higher. S&P futures up 11.5 points. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures up 49 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, straight ahead, more on Disney's not-so-magical earnings result. We'll check in next with Bloomberg Intelligence U.S. media analyst Geeta Ranganathan. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro e-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CMEmini. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Global easing is in full swing with a trio of rate cut surprises today. New Zealand cut by 50 basis points, India issued a 35 basis point reduction, and Thailand cut by 0.25%. Disney lost its magic, earnings missed by a mile thanks to falling attendance at its US theme parks and the cost of absorbing Fox assets. SoftBank's first quarter profit beat estimates thanks to its Vision Fund. Returns on 81 tech investments contributed more than half of net income. And Glencore delivered shoddy first half earnings. The trading unit was hit by a $350 million loss on cobalt that's been mined but not yet sold. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up about 10 points. Dow futures up 91. NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds. Yield 1.66%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 22 cents at $53.41 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.1% or $15.80 at $1,500 an ounce. The euro 1.1185 against the dollar. The yen 106.27. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, 5 days after a gunman murdered 22 people and wounded 27 more at a local Walmart, President Trump will visit El Paso, Texas this afternoon to offer his support. This morning, the president will visit Dayton, Ohio, where nine people were shot and killed Sunday. Kim Jong-un said North Korea's latest missile tests were intended as a warning against ongoing U.S.-South Korea military exercises. North Korea has taken escalating steps in recent weeks to show its frustration with the U.S.'s refusal to meet with its demands in nuclear talks. In baseball, the Yankees won their seventh straight, downing the Orioles 9-4. The Mets won their last 12 out of 13 games after beating the Marlins. The Red Sox lost. Nationals beat the Giants 5-3. The A's won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker. Good morning. Well, Disney lost its magic in the third quarter. Earnings missed. They missed by a lot. Geetha Ranganathan covers media as an analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence, joining us this morning. Thanks for being here. Let's start with the theme park attendance. I thought the lines were going to stretch around the known universe for the new Star Wars attractions.
Yeah, good morning, John. Yeah, the theme park weakness was definitely a huge surprise. I mean, this is an asset that, you know, has been kind of underappreciated and has kind of been really delivering very good results the past few quarters, and especially with the opening of Galaxy's Edge, the new Star Wars attraction, which is basically the largest expansion in Disneyland's 64-year history. You know, everybody expected that attraction to kind of attract beyond capacity crowds, and so that was obviously a huge surprise. And from what management said, it looks like that those attendance issues might kind of drag out a little bit till things kind of settle down early next year.
Okay, Avengers Endgame, Toy Story 4, haven't seen either one, knocked the cover off the ball, not enough to offset other areas like the, I guess, the integration with Fox.
Yes. So, of course, Disney's core studio performance was absolutely, you know, as you mentioned, blockbuster. I mean, Disney has been an absolute box office juggernaut. They have a 40% market share of the domestic box office. But again, as you pointed out, Fox was what was really kind of weighing them down. One movie in particular, which was Dark Phoenix, the X-Men movie, cost around $350 million to make, didn't bring in more than $100 million for the studio. So a huge write down there. And that kind of really depressed filmed entertainment profits as well.
Okay, the integration with Fox, I mean, it's part of it is a little mystery to me. I mean, it's not like Disney doesn't have a lot of content themselves. How much content do they need?
So the whole deal with Fox was really geared towards kind of building their direct-to-consumer streaming product. The general assumption in the industry is you need at least 10,000 hours of library content to have a really strong product, and that's kind of what they got with the Fox deal. You know, they got the Nat Geo cable properties. They have, you know, a lot of other content as well from FX. And so this was really to offer a very robust product when they came to market. And I think they will definitely be able to do that with Fox, but there is going to be some short-term bumpiness.
Okay, let's get to the heart of the matter now with streaming. As Disney tries to become Netflix or something more than Netflix, how long and costly a battle is this going to be?
Yeah, so they are really in this for the long haul, and we're not going to see any big profit numbers come out of the company for at least another 3 to 4 years. So we already kind of got a little taste of that this quarter. You know, the consolidation of Hulu is obviously really depressing off operating profits. Again, the ramp up at ESPN Plus, all the ongoing investments for Disney Plus are literally costing billions of dollars in terms of original content investments. All of that is going to really not allow the company to break even for at least another 4 to 5 years. So what they've said is 2024 is when they expect to break even on all of their streaming initiatives.
Yeah, the digital landscape, Geeth, is a little like watching Darwin's natural selection in warp speed. Is there room for Disney Plus and everybody else, or is it just going to be one or two players in the end?
Yes, I think we're kind of really gearing up for what is going to be a shakeout. I think there are going to be winners and losers, just given the number of different options that are flooding the market. I absolutely see Disney Plus emerging as a big winner. They have the content firepower. They have a very, very attractive price point. And yesterday, actually, Bob Iger also mentioned a new discounted bundle that they'll be offering. So it's a $13 price point for all three services, Disney, ESPN, and Hulu, which makes it really, really attractive if you're comparing it to Netflix or some of these other services. So I absolutely think Disney Plus will be a winner, but I think Netflix will also be a winner.
Okay, maybe we call this a transition quarter. Geetha, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Geetha Ranganathan from Bloomberg Intelligence. And as we check shares of the Disney company this morning, in the pre-market at least, they are down 3.2% after that earnings miss. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, John. It's 6:25 on Wall Street. And as it happens, the cover story of the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on the escalating war in streaming video. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher after yesterday's 1.3% gain. Meanwhile, the yuan is weaker after China's central bank set its daily reference rate just barely below 7. We get more from Bloomberg FX strategist David Finnerty.
They don't want a one-way trade, because if they do, then the yuan's just going to weaken. Traders will get on that trade, and that means capital outflow. So it's the last thing they want. So if they are going to do it, they have to sort of do it gradually. Normally what they'll do is let it go a bit, then they'll pull it back to tighten back those shorts. So I'd be watching the fixings over the next few days. But I wouldn't be surprised if the People's Bank of China does try and actually do a stronger fixing when not expected, just to say, hey, this isn't a one-way trade.
And the yuan is currently trading at 7.0754 per dollar.
And the New Zealand dollar is weakening sharply as well after a bigger-than-expected rate cut from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. Governor Adrian Orr cut rates by 0.5% and warned future policy could include negative rates.
When you're looking at Europe, Sweden, Japan, all with negative interest rates, and with us at 1% and many other economies below 1%, it's easily within the realms of possibility that we might have to use negative interest rates.
New Zealand's dollar's weaker by more than 1% now, and the Aussie dollar slid 0.5% on the news. We also had rate cuts from the Reserve Bank of India and Thailand overnight.
Gold is trading around $1,500 an ounce as the U.S.-China trade war festers, global growth slows, and central banks around the world ease monetary policy. Right now, COMEX gold is at $1,500.20 an ounce.
Shares of Disney are down 3% in the pre-market after earnings and revenue that missed estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Underwhelming performance from its newly acquired Fox businesses offset box office successes such as Avengers Endgame. CEO Bob Iger said one of the biggest issues affecting earnings was the Fox studio performance. Disney was also spending more money on its ESPN Plus and upcoming Disney Plus streaming services, and its results were hurt by taking control of Hulu with the purchase of Fox's entertainment businesses. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Shares of Weight Watchers gaining this morning up more than 22% after raising its full-year forecast.
And in Europe, shares of Commerzbank and UniCredit are down around 3%. The European banks warned of weaker earnings as escalating trade tensions take a toll on clients.
And S&P futures are up 11 points, Dow futures up 98, NASDAQ futures up 45, the DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 1.66%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.56%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street, and the news update is brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and Advisors, dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com. Bloomberg.com. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump will seek to console the grief-stricken residents of El Paso and Dayton today. It follows a pair of weekend shootings that left at least 31 people dead and dozens wounded. However, there are mixed feelings about the president's visit. Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley says she welcomes the president's visit and will meet with him.
Look, I'm disappointed with his remarks. I mean, I think they fell really short. He mentioned, like, gun issues one time.
After Dayton, the president and first lady will later head to El Paso. Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke, who is from El Paso, said Trump shouldn't visit, and the city's Republican mayor has acknowledged local opposition to the president. Meanwhile, Texas Senator Ted Cruz spent last night visiting with first responders and emergency personnel in El Paso. Cruz says he wants to aggressively address the growing problem of mental health in America.
We know in this sort of instance that often mental illness plays a critical role, that people who commit sick acts of mass murder like this are often dealing with very severe mental illness.
In the wake of the recent mass shootings, there were some frightening moments last night after a huge crowd in Times Square caused a stampede-like scene. A motorcycle backfired. The sound was eerily similar to gunshots, and it sent people running for cover. The NYPD says there was no active shooter, and Times Square is safe. Kim Jong-un said North Korea's latest missile tests were intended as a warning against ongoing U.S.-South Korea military exercises. President Trump's new defense chief defended the training as necessary to maintain readiness. Defense Secretary Mark Esper in Tokyo, for the first time since he assumed the position in July, met with his Japanese counterpart and described the roles of China and North Korea as destabilizing the region. Esper says America would appreciate Japan's input in making China toe an acceptable line.
This behavior destabilizes our region, and I welcome your thoughts on effective steps we can take to persuade China to give due respect to its neighbors and international norms and values.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, many figured the Mets would trade Zach Wheeler a couple weeks ago. He can be a free agent. Why not get something in return? Because 2 weeks ago, the playoffs for the Mets seemed like a fantasy. No more. Mets keep winning. It was Wheeler last night. 8 scoreless innings. He hurled 7 scoreless in his previous start. Mets over the Marlins 5-0, making it 12 wins in their last 13 games. Wilson Ramos, 3-run homer, third inning. Pete Alonso, solo shot in the fifth, 36th of the year for the rookie, who had been in a slump.
Been chasing less, and I've been doing a really good job, or a better job, of commanding the strike zone, and I'm just going to keep building off of each AB and keep the ball rolling. I'm feeling really good right now, and it's a good time for a sweep tomorrow.
Matinee, Steven Matz on the mound. He's the only starter to lose in the last 2 weeks. Yankees won again, 9-4 at Baltimore. 6 Yanks homered. Mike Tauchman, DJ LeMahieu, back-to-back third inning. Brett Gardner and Cameron Maven back-to-back in the ninth. Didi Gregorius and Austin Romine also went yard. The Yanks' seventh straight win, 14th in a row at Camden Yards. However, Gleyber Torres still injured. He hasn't missed a game, but for the second time in 3 nights, he couldn't finish the game. Due to what's being called a core injury, Torres, headed back to New York, will not play tonight as the Yanks go for the sweep. Torres is the only Yank who was in the opening day lineup who hasn't been on the injured list. Giants coach Pat Shurmur would not reveal his quarterback plans for the preseason opener tomorrow against the Jets, other than to say rookie Daniel Jones will play. Shurmur would not say whether Eli Manning is going to see any action. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. Tick populations have soared in recent years, and with them the number of reported cases of Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. This epidemic demands more attention than it's getting, and far more resources should be deployed to fight it. Ticks are famously resilient. Understanding the problem will be half the battle, and that will take money. Encouragingly, the NIH has recently boosted its spending on Lyme research, and the CDC is funding new tick monitoring efforts. Vaccine developments offer another opportunity. Though the politics of vaccines are still treacherous, researchers are optimistic about the science, with one group heralding what could be the dawn of a new era for tick vaccines. Finally, the menace is one more reason to deal with climate change. Research suggests that an extra 2 degrees Celsius of warming would lead to an increase of more than 20% in U.S. Lyme disease cases. This health hazard needs to be confronted before it gets any worse. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN. Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
To 10 million fireflies, I'm weird because I hate goodbyes. I got misty eyes as they said farewell.
Contrary to the song, you can't just save them in a jar, so environmental groups are shining a beacon on a luminescent beetle with a double green flash, whose unique habitat is threatened by coastal development and sea level rise along the Delaware coastline. They're pushing the Interior Department to include its first firefly on the federal endangered species list, claiming the Bethany Beach firefly is at immediate risk of extinction from the imminent destruction of much of its habitat, noting plans to build expensive beach homes in one of the last remaining habitats they've been found. The bug is already on Delaware's endangered species list, but that only makes it illegal to transport, possess, or sell. It doesn't regulate wetland development. A lawyer for the developer questions the petition's timing and argues that it relies on old data. That's the Bloomberg Green Firefly Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Some other stories we're watching this morning. Shares of Glencore down 2.1% after the mining company reported the weakest profit in 3 years. Glencore CEO Ivan Glasenberg cites a challenging economic backdrop for the poor performance. More cost cuts on the way at Walgreens. The drugstore chain is going to close 200 locations in the U.S. on top of the 750 closings it's already announced. Walgreens says the cuts are needed to overhaul many parts of its operations. And U.S. safety regulators are sending Tesla CEO Elon Musk a cease and desist over safety claims for the Model 3. They also subpoenaed the carmaker for information on several crashes. All that is according to documents posted by a nonprofit advocacy group. No comment yet from Tesla. S&P futures pointing to a higher open, up nearly 12 points now. Dow futures up 105 points. NASDAQ futures up 50. The 10-year Treasury yield 1.66%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter ahead of President Trump's visits today to two cities reeling from mass shootings over the weekend. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Futures in the green right now. Dow futures up 103 points. S&P scan 11. And NASDAQ futures climbed by 49. The U.S. 10-year falls to 1.66% amid global easing. Gold is trading higher by 15, and European markets are climbing, led by gains in France and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 3 o'clock, consumer credit. After the bell last night, Disney EPS missed the lowest estimates, and Match is up 18% in the pre-market after revenue beat estimates. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Capri Holdings was mixed, and look for CVS to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Reuters reported that Tesla may raise prices in China next month. And in deal news, Cambrex to be acquired by Permira Funds for $60 a share in cash. Wrapping things up, International Flavors was raised to overweight at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump will travel today to the scenes of back-to-back mass shootings that left at least 31 people dead. The president's planned appearances in Ohio and Texas aren't being well received by all local officials, some of whom say it would be best if Trump avoided their grief-stricken cities. North Korea says a recent launch of ballistic missiles was meant to send a warning to Washington and Seoul over their ongoing joint military exercises. In baseball, the Yankees won their seventh straight, downing the Orioles. The Mets have won 12 out of their last 13 games after beating the Marlins. The Red Sox lost. The Nationals beat the Giants. The A's won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is on the move.
now that I have your attention, Brady and his wife, supermodel Gisele Bündchen, have put their Brookline, Massachusetts home on the market, according to NBC Boston. Nathan, the five-bedroom house has a listing price of $39.5 million and features a three-car garage, a gym, spa, guest house with yoga studio, got to have those, and the all-important organic herb and vegetable garden.
Well, that's what it is, Michael. It's a starter home. For Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen, they probably outgrew it. That's, you know, you outgrow three-car garages and organic vegetable gardens.
We can't even afford the guest house, man.
No.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. Back to Moneybags Nathan.
Thanks. It is coming up to 6:50 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Now let's check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Joe Biden maintaining his frontrunner status in the latest Quinnipiac poll in the Democratic presidential race. Congressman Elijah Cummings speaks at the National Press Club today. It'll be his first address since President Trump made him a Twitter target. And Amazon, Google, and Facebook defend their business practices amid a broad congressional antitrust probe. Also making news, of course, President Trump preparing to head to Dayton and El Paso today after the mass shootings in both cities. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is here with more on what to expect this morning. The president is going to be leaving the White House around 9 o'clock Wall Street time. We've already heard, Kate, from a number of leaders in those cities who seem to be indicating that the president could be met with a cool reception, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, that's definitely true. I think that the president has encountered this kind of a dynamic in the past. I think back to after Hurricane Maria when he went to Puerto Rico, and there was some, discontent, to put it mildly, with him among local leaders there, and he still went and tried to assume what is kind of an awkward role for him, which is sort of consoler-in-chief. He's not someone that naturally fits into that role. It doesn't seem to come naturally to him. And so I think these trips today could be potentially challenging for him, given that local leaders, people like Beto O'Rourke in El Paso, the former congressman from El Paso, who's been quite vocal in opposition to Trump, to put it mildly. I think that, it's going to be potentially a challenging day for the president to navigate those waters.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well to point out that with the criticism that Beto O'Rourke in particular has leveled against the president, he is responding on Twitter with the usual comments and making fun of his nickname and telling him to be quiet, standing in contrast to his prepared remarks from the White House earlier this week, where he called for unity and condemnations of racism and white supremacy.
Yeah, I think it really shows the difference between the teleprompter Trump and the Twitter Trump. On one hand, we see often on Twitter the president making comments like the ones that you've mentioned in terms of his comments about Beto O'Rourke this week. I think that we can just look back to last week and Elijah Cummings, the congressman from Maryland that the president essentially instigated a Twitter feud with. Then before that, it was the Squad, the four female congresswomen who he, got into a Twitter argument with. That those kind of off-the-cuff comments from the president tend to be quite different in tone from what we hear when he makes a televised speech and goes off and reads off the teleprompter like he did on Monday from the White House. So I think that's kind of the question here is, which version of Trump are we going to get in El Paso and Dayton today? And, to what extent is that going to influence the gun debate going forward?
Yeah. And, we often hear after tragedies like this, that you put politics aside, allow people to grieve. But we are already seeing how politicized, in particular, these mass shootings and the nexus between violence and rhetoric around immigration has really made this come into a fever pitch politically. And we're going to hear from Joe Biden later today. He's going to be offering something of a counterpoint as he continues to campaign in first in the nation caucus state, Iowa.
Absolutely. And Iowa's a state where former Vice President Biden has really been trying to make inroads. He performed really poorly there in 2008 when he ran himself for president and then dropped out the next day after Iowa, after gaining less than 1% of the vote. So I think his campaign has been, clearly working hard to, make inroads in Iowa, and he'll be there today. And I think that we're going to hear some strong language from him today. He's going to be talking about how essentially it's not that far a leap in his mind from the type of language that the president uses and the type of language that the El Paso shooter used online. He's going to be making that argument and drawing those parallels. And I think that's quite a strong statement from the Democratic frontrunner, and something that is likely to get a lot of attention today.
In terms of what could happen with policy coming out of this, we heard from Ohio's Republican Governor Mike DeWine yesterday calling for pretty significant gun reforms. Could that sort of extrapolate itself into what happens when Congress comes back next month from the break?
Well, certainly I think Republican members of Congress, particularly Republicans in the House who are from districts that are more, moderate districts, potentially suburban districts, those kinds of areas that tend to be more purple rather than deep red, I think they're going to be under a lot of pressure to, show at least that they're open to the possibility of some kind of stronger gun laws. Now, what that translates into and whether or not that means that there's enough support or enough pressure being brought to bear on the Senate to act on the background check legislation that the House already passed, I think is a real open question and something we'll have to watch closely. Obviously, senators represent entire states, so the Senate, for that reason, tends to be more skewed towards a rural perspective, and we know that those voters tend to be more supportive of gun rights. And so at the end of the day, there may not be enough pressure on the Senate to act on background check legislation, but certainly this event from the past weekend, these events have changed the political landscape, and so it's going to be an issue to watch very closely when Congress comes back from the recess.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always, and stay with Bloomberg Radio as we'll be following the president as he visits Dayton and El Paso later today. 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. As a larger-than-life CEO, Warren Buffett tends to overshadow anything happening at his $500 billion conglomerate, Berkshire Hathaway. For example, when an entirely inconsequential charity lunch was recently canceled between the billionaire and a Chinese cryptocurrency entrepreneur, it wasn't unusual that the news received far more attention than Berkshire's own earnings report. Buffett's celebrity makes it easy to lose sight of the fact that Berkshire Hathaway is the most valuable company in the world outside of the technology industry. But despite owning dozens and dozens of businesses, Berkshire discloses few details about them each quarter. So often, the greatest insight investors get into how those businesses are doing is by studying other insurance companies, railroads, manufacturers, and consumer goods makers. Buffett has said he doesn't want shareholders to, quote, obsess on the details, and that doing so can be, quote, mind-numbing. His successor someday might not get to exercise the same discretion, but for Buffett, investors just smile and nod. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. We are watching shares of CVS as earnings cross the Bloomberg. They are up 6.3% right now. This is after second quarter profit beat the highest estimate of analysts we surveyed, and we'll be watching those shares throughout the morning. S&P futures also higher, up 9 points. Dow futures up 83. NASDAQ futures up 37. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.